Easter. What does it mean? I'm sure if you asked that question out on the street right now, out here on the corner, you'd get a lot of different answers to that question, wouldn't you? What does Easter mean? You'd get some who would say, I don't know. You would get some who would say that's something that Christians believe and celebrate. You would get some who would say it's a day to give away chocolate. You'd get all kinds of different answers to that question. What does Easter mean? What does Easter mean? It's a question that's been asked for many, many years. What does Easter mean? We wouldn't be the first ones to ask that question. And I think it goes all the way back to that first morning. When the disciples, when the women, when they were seeing the events unfold in front of them. They didn't ask it exactly like that. They wouldn't have said, what does Easter mean? But they were asking that question in their minds. What does all of this mean? When they approached the tomb and saw the stone rolled away, they wondered, what does it mean? When they looked inside and they saw that Jesus wasn't there, they wondered, what does it mean? When they saw the grave cloths folded neatly, what does it mean? I chose the Luke account this morning as our scripture passage because in the last verse, as we read it, it says that Peter went away wondering to himself what had happened. Wondering to himself what had happened. What does this mean? What do these events mean? What do you think he was wondering about? What was going through his head that morning, do you think? Could it be that he was recalling some of the things that Jesus had said along the way, which he had kind of maybe put in the back of his mind, but now in light of this and what he was seeing in front of him, maybe they were coming to the forefront. Such things as we read in Luke chapter 9 where it says, Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anyone who he was. The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things, he said. He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead. Or maybe what John records in John chapter 2. Then the Jews demanded of him, meaning Jesus, what miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. Or how about what Matthew records in Matthew chapter 12? Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. He answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Or again in Matthew in chapter 16, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Knowing Peter, it's quite possible he only heard the first part when Jesus said he must be taken away. He didn't hear the resurrection part. Again, in Matthew chapter 17, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Many, many occasions, Jesus told the disciples, "This is what's going to happen. This is what must happen." The disciples didn't necessarily understand it at the time, what Jesus was saying. Understandable. How could a person tell you they were going to die but would come back to life 3 days later? I mean, who does that? Who does that? Who does that? But now, Peter has looked into an empty tomb. The women have said that angels told them that Jesus was alive. What does it mean? Peter is trying to reconcile all of this, trying to figure it all out. Maybe not wanting himself to get too excited. After all, Peter is the guy who's gotten himself into trouble in the past for jumping to conclusions too quickly, jumping out and saying things. But what does it mean if Jesus is alive? That must be the question that's really going through Peter's head. If Jesus is alive, what does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Jesus said he was going to die and come back to life on the third day. And from where Peter's standing, it looks like maybe he has. Who does that? If he's alive, who is he? If he is alive, then things have happened exactly like he said they would happen. And if those things happened exactly like he said they would, then it is quite possible that everything that Jesus said is true. Boy, oh boy, imagine what was going through his head and going on in the heads of those poor disciples as they were trying to piece this together. They probably wanted to believe it, but were just too afraid to let themselves get too excited. Could it all be true? Could Jesus be alive? And if he was, what does that mean? And if he is, what happens now? And that evening, as we read in John's Gospel, Jesus appeared among the disciples. No longer did they have to wonder. Now they knew it was true. Jesus is alive. Now they realized it was all true. Can't you just hear them talking amongst themselves? I mean, these guys have been with Jesus these three past years. They've all been just so demoralized when Jesus was put on the cross, and now here they are gathered together, and suddenly Jesus is amongst them. He's alive. They knew he was dead, and now he's alive. And can't you just hear them, "Well, look at this. What does this mean?" And just probably bantering back and forth in kind of a joyous celebration that Jesus is alive. Can you believe this? Jesus is alive. He is the Son of God. Jesus is alive. Easter. What does it mean? Some would argue that it's just a nice story, some kind of folklore of sorts or religious tale that has caught people's imagination. But Jesus was real. And there's enough evidence to prove he was real. Some would allow that Jesus indeed was real. He was probably a real man, and he was a good teacher or a philosopher. Well, he made some pretty strong claims when he taught. Either what he said was true, in which case he was more than just a teacher or philosopher, or he was a liar, a deceiver, or delusional. But he was alive, and he was crucified. Now, some would say either he didn't actually die, or he didn't actually come back to life. The Romans were very good at making sure that if they wanted someone dead, he was dead. They were good at that. They didn't make mistakes in that area. When someone was to be dead, they were dead. Nobody could survive what Jesus went through. Jesus died on the cross. He died. So they would argue, well, then he didn't come back to life. They just kind of made that part up. If he didn't come back to life, where is his body? The Romans placed a guard in front of the tomb. It wasn't carried off by just anybody. If the Jewish leaders, those who had pushed for the crucifixion in the first place, had taken the body, when the disciples started claiming he was alive, they could have simply shown the body and said, "Here he is. See, still dead." But they couldn't. So the disciples took the body, some would argue, and they made the whole thing up. Okay, let's say for a minute they did. If you made up a lie, perhaps to gain notoriety or influence or to carry on some kind of myth, how far would you carry that lie? Perhaps as long as it benefited you? When would you admit to the lie? Perhaps when it became a problem for you. When it was more hassle than the lie was worth anymore. The disciples lived their lives after this, facing great persecution. They lived their lives after this, knowing full well that they were putting their lives on the line by holding to this claim. The disciples, in the end, were martyred because they wouldn't stop saying, "Jesus is alive." If it was a lie that they had made up and they had taken the body, don't you think that at least one of them would have said, "Okay, we made it up"? Before they died? Before they were martyred for what they were saying? None of them did. In fact, even if someone else stole the body, would they have been so convinced as they were? Would they have been so determined as they were if they had not seen the risen Jesus? Would they have been as sure of what had transpired? After all, during that first day, after the women told them Jesus isn't there and the angel said he's risen, they were very skeptical. They thought the women were talking nonsense at first. They didn't believe it. Thomas didn't believe it. Even when the other disciples said to him, "We've seen the Lord," he says, "I'm not going to believe it till I see it for myself." Would they really have been that convinced if they had not seen for themselves with their own eyes Jesus Christ alive risen from the dead? It was real. They saw Jesus. Some would say, okay, they believed it was real, but they were hallucinating. Well, of course, the question is, when was the last time 11 men and several women had the same hallucination at the same time? On multiple different occasions. Easter. What does it mean? In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Paul says, He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Which means by His death He paid the penalty for our sins, and by His resurrection we know that the payment was accepted. It was accepted. What does Easter mean? It means we can believe everything that Jesus said. John chapter 5, verse 28, beginning at verse 28, Jesus speaking, Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. John chapter 14, In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. What does it mean? It means that the sacrifice on the cross was accepted as payment for our sins. It means that Jesus was without sin, and therefore death could not hold Him. It means that everything Jesus said was true. What does it mean? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, he says, Christ has been raised from the dead. What does Easter mean? It means God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. What does Easter mean? It means everything. It is everything to us. The resurrection of Jesus puts all the pieces in place. It completes the picture. It completes the teaching of Jesus. It satisfies our need for a Savior. It completes and satisfies all the requirements for our sin. It shows us that Jesus is who He said He was, and that everything that Jesus said is true. That is what Easter means. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning, Lord. We celebrate this day, the gift You have given to us. Lord, on this morning we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus, You have rescued us. You paid for our sins on the cross. And because You were perfect in every way and without sin, You are the perfect sacrifice. And because of that, sin and death could not hold You. And so You have demonstrated who You are and the meaning and the depth of Your sacrifice by coming and rising again. And we praise You for that. And in that, we have hope. We have hope for the future. We have hope for our own lives as we put our faith and our trust in You. We know that our future is secure. It's safe in Your hands. Jesus, we just want to praise You this morning. We want to thank You. The worship team is going to sing a song and invite you to join them as they